Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Oh, amen. So glad to see you tonight. I want you to take your lavender. Is that the right color? Lesson guide. If you don't have one of these, if you'll raise your hand, someone will bring you one. Thank you so much. I want you to have this because I hope this will be helpful for you tonight. We are involved in a series we're calling Focus on the Family. And we have been studying. Here's our review. What's the first word we did? Okay, let's try that again. What's the first word we did? Hope. Good. Because in the family, in your relationships, if you don't have hope, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so the fact that the Lord gives us hope, the scripture says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." And I just want you to know tonight that if you, in your family, in relationships, the Lord Jesus can give you love and can help you have freedom and victory. And that is even when others in your relationships are not reacting in a godly way. You can still have victory. You can still have hope. So we talked about hope. The second word was the word forgiveness. That's right. Because any good relationship is made up of two good forgivers. And you need to be someone who is willing to forgive. Dr. James McDonald wrote a great book called Seven Words to Change Your Family. And so this is kind of a guide that I'm using as we're studying this together. And tonight I'm so excited about the lesson tonight. And the word tonight is the word blessing. In our home, we have what we call the special plate. It's red. You may have seen that. Maybe sold somewhere, maybe online, or maybe at like a Christian bookstore, or maybe just at a regular bookstore. But it's called the special plate. And when one of our kids has a birthday, they get the special plate. I mean, people do this all over the place, so this is not necessarily unique to us. But we sort of embarrass our kids. Isn't that fun? Now, I'm just being silly, but we do that sometimes. And what we do, we don't embarrass them on purpose, but it sometimes as they've gotten older, it seems like it's a little bit more that this kind of puts them on the spot. But when it's their birthday, they get the special plate, and we spend some time going around the room sharing with them the things that we admire in them and the reasons that we love them. And can I tell you this? Part of it is we want to bless them. We want them to know they are loved, that they are valued in our family. Hey, look, none of us are perfect. You know, I'm definitely way off mark on that. Our kids are not perfect, but I tell you one thing we want them to know is that they are very, very special to God, that they are very, very special to us, and that we give them our blessing, and we love them. Chuck Swindoll is one of my heroes. Y'all know who Chuck Swindoll is? Chuck Swindoll is a pastor in Dallas. He was a president of Dallas Seminary. He's a great author, great communicator of the biblical truth. I recently watched a sermon by him or a video by him, and actually Kurt Shiver and Chris Woods and I were watching it together. I watched it by myself, and Kelly watched it with me, and then I watched it with those guys. And in this, he says, these are some things I've learned after, you ready for this? 59 years of ministry. Dr. Swindoll is in his 80s. Kurt, if I remember, is like 82, right? Isn't that what they said? I think he's 82 years old. And he has been in the ministry for 59 years. And can I tell you what the first thing he said was? He said, I've learned after 59 years of ministry, tell people what they mean to you now. Don't wait till it's too late. In other words, take the time to tell people what they mean to you. And do it now while you can. I tell you, when we get around that table and our kids start talking about their brothers and sisters, and then, of course, Kelly gets to going, oh, Lord. Then Kelly gets to going. And then I get to going. Man, I'm telling you, we're snorting and sniffing and everything. And I tell you, it is so precious to see siblings saying things precious. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. We have abilities to bless. We have the abilities to curse. And McDonald says that the word blessing in your home and in your relationships, and it's not just in your own home. You say, well, I don't have any children. Well, guess what? There's some children you can be a blessing to. There are others. There's some of these kids right here, man. Whoo! I get excited when I see these kids here tonight. They're such a blessing. Hey, Watson. Hey, how y'all doing? Y'all all waving. I'm so blessed that they're here. I'm so blessed that they're here. And I want them to know that God values them and God loves them. I'm praying that God would do a great work in their life. I want to show you these resources before I forget it. This is the original book that, well, I say the original book. We're going to read in the Bible. That's the original book. But this is a book that was written called The Blessing. Gary Smalley and John Trent wrote this book. I just talked to Malcolm Prevett just a moment ago because they do something in their family that has impacted all their kids, and they give a blessing to their family. So much so has it impacted in the Prevett family that their son, who is a professional photographer, has created a ministry he has entitled The Blessing, where they will help you in a professional and digital and a photographic manner, heap love and blessing all over someone that you want to be a blessing to. I mean, this is the impact that it's had on their family. This is the original book, The Blessing. This is a book that has really impacted me, Raising a Modern Day Knight by Robert Lewis. Robert Lewis was a pastor, and he had sons. And he said that we need to teach young men responsibility. And he talked about in knighthood they had ceremony. And he even brought it, he's brought it into the ways they did things in Scripture. And they had ceremonies where they like christened a young man into manhood. Man, I love that. And I remember having some parties for my sons where we had significant men in their life. Papa was there, and I was there, and Uncle Scott was there, and John was there, and others were there. His football coach was there that year, and they got around my sons. We did two different ones, and they gave them blessings, and then I was a part of that. This book talks about this. This is a great book. And then here's one for girls called Raising Maidens of Virtue by Stacy McDonald. This would be a great book to read if you have daughters or a girl that you want to be a blessing to. And then here's another Gary Smalley book. This is the updated version of the original, The Blessing, called The Gift of the Blessing by Gary Smalley. I really encourage you. And then Miss D in the library told me that we have an entire section on parenting. All of this stuff is there for parents and grandparents and people that just want to be a blessing and an encouragement to those. But the word blessing, church family in relationships, in our homes, in our church, in our friendships, we need to be people that give life with their words. I can tell you this, and I sometimes use, personal illustrations a lot because of the things that are tender to me. So just forgive me if I do that too often. But Kelly will come home, and she's just been with her mom or dad, and with her mom and dad, and she will say, Dad always tells me I'm the apple of his eye. And she gets choked up. Now, Kelly, I asked her permission. I said, you want me to tell them you're 49 or what do you want me to tell them? She said, no, you tell them my age. Okay, so we figured it out. She's 55 years old. I'm much older than her. But she told me, she said, Calvin, I am 55 years old. And she said, when my dad says you're the apple of my eye, she says, it just does something to me. It just means the world to me. Every one of us in this room has the ability to do that to the people we love. And particularly parents to children. So tonight's word is blessing. I want you to look in the book of Genesis. It goes way back to the book of Genesis. We see this in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 27, verses 30 and 32. Now, you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Now, we're going to have time to read the whole story. Esau was the firstborn. In those days, the firstborn son got the blessing. They were the ones that received the blessing. And that was kind of equated to like the inheritance and all of those things. And so in the scripture here, it says in verse 30, now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. Wait a minute. Why was Isaac blessing Jacob? Jacob was not Esau. He was not the firstborn. Well, there's a whole story, backstory to this. You're going to have to go back and read later. In my Bible, in chapter 27, there's a heading that says Jacob deceives Isaac. It's not part of the scripture, but it's a man-made heading there to give you a feel of what is happening in the Bible. Mine says Jacob deceives Isaac. What happened was Jacob went into his dad and said he was Esau. He impersonated Esau. And so Isaac gave Jacob the blessing, and then in verse 30, what we're reading is Esau coming in. So it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made a savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. So we see the blessing in the scripture. We see that the scripture is teaching about the blessing. Now look at verses 32 and following. It says, and his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. And so we see there, and then it says in verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. And he said to his father, bless me also. Bless me also, O my father. And he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. Now, folks, in our day, we have the ability, look at me, we have the ability to bless everyone, to bless all of our kids, okay? In this time in Scripture, this particular blessing, in the way we look at it in the book of Genesis, it was intended for that firstborn. Esau should have gotten that. Jacob finagled his way in there and got that blessing. But what I want you to see there is that in the very first book of the Bible, we see lessons taught about the blessing. What is the blessing? Words that express fondness for. The blank there is under number one is the word words. Boy, words are important. Sticks and stones can break. No, is that, how does that go? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Why was I stumbling with that? I knew that. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Not true. Not true. words that express fondness for, confidence in, and recognition of a specific person. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I've got it marked and I can't even find it. Okay. Mark chapter 10 and verse 14. You know, they brought the children to Christ, and the disciples didn't like it. And in verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. See, the disciples had rebuked the children. He was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Now look at verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Let me tell you something, folks. There's significance to this. There's significance to communicating with your words that you have fondness for, confidence in, and you recognition of a specific person. Now, how do we communicate the blessing? All right. I'm going to give these to you relatively quickly here. Letter A, meaningful touch. Meaningful touch. Back in our passage in Genesis chapter 27, if you go back to verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." Hey, listen, I just believe that as part of our blessing our children, we ought to hug them. We ought to love them in a special, special way. I encourage you to do that. We communicate blessing by meaningful touch. There was a doctor who did an experiment, and that's why I've got the little statement, hospital experiment. I'm hoping that'll be the tickler that'll remind you of this story. Hospital experiment. A doctor had a number of patients, and to some he went in and he stood back and he gave them just the basics of the diagnosis. "I want you to know we have evaluated you. We've taken an MRI. We've done all the CAT scans that we're to do, and you're to take this medication. You're to take it 3 times a day. The nurse will give this to you." And they left. He did a whole sample of people like that. And then to half his patients, he went in and he got close to them and he sat down and he looked them in the eye. You know, when I go to the hospital, a lot of times when I have prayer with somebody, I know the Lord can do it without this. So I'm not saying this is some kind of a mystical thing, but I'll just say, "Hey, let me just touch your hand right here. Let's have prayer." That doctor did that experiment where he sat down on the bed next to the person and looked them in the eye and told them the situation. And there was a marked difference in the recovery. Chip knows this stuff. If you don't believe me, ask him. He's an expert. Seriously, in medicine, hope and encouragement is so crucial. And you see that in the blessing and in physical touch. Ross Campbell, who wrote all those books, y'all remember those books, How to Really Love Your Child? I may have misspelled his name. How to Really Love Your Child, How to Really Love Your Teenager. Ross Campbell was a Christian, kind of like a James Dobson psychologist, and he wrote all these books. Boy, I tell you what, when we had little kids, we were eating them up, man. We were reading everything we could read. The Strong-Willed Child. I think that thing's got torn edges on it. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. But anyway, the point is, we read everything. Ross Campbell makes this statement I thought was very powerful. "In all of my reading and experience, I have never known one sexually disoriented person who had a warm, loving, affectionate father." Now, that's not a scientific study. It's his own anecdotal comment, but can I tell you this, Dr. Ross Campbell, I have great respect for him. He spent his whole life trying to help Christian parents love their children. So this is important. So meaningful touch. Letter B, spoken words. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Words of affection, reconciliation, vision, security. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the ability with your spoken word to bless people. And I encourage you to do that, and particularly with your children, the children that you have influence over. And then, letter C, here's another way to communicate the blessing. Affirming your child's value. In other words, you're saying to them, you matter to us. In Genesis chapter 27, verse 27, it says, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now that was a good thing to say, okay? You smell like a field. Don't take that wrong. That was a compliment. You smell better than a field, brother.
Not much.
He's hear what he said? Not much. Okay. But he was affirming the value of a child. Boy, I tell you what. There is so much in this world that is not affirming the value of kids and children and teenagers and everything. You have the ability with your parents, with your siblings, with your children, within your relationships to put value on them in the way you do that. So I encourage you to do that. And then give spiritual vision. In verse 28, therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Give a spiritual vision. In other words, connecting the blessings of life with God. There's a phrase that I learned years ago. I think I actually learned this from Kelly's dad. He said, everything we have that is of value and good in this life is a gift from God's hand. That has really been an anchor for me. Everything that I have is good. Well, think about what I have that's good. Oh, man, I've got Kelly. I've got my kids. I've got my grandkids. I was with one of my grandkids yesterday. Man, it was fun. I'm wore out. But it was fun. Hey, but that is a blessing from God. So you let your children know the good things you have in this world come from the hand of God. And I think that's important. So that's spiritual vision. And then a prosperous vision. Well, let me finish this. In James 1:17, everything good we have in this life, well, that's what I said, isn't it? Okay. Everything good we have in this life comes from God's hand. That scripture is every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning, James 1:17. Then we have a prosperous vision. In Genesis 27, 28, and 29, let's look at 29. He says, let the people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be those who bless you. In verse 28, therefore may God give to you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. So a prosperous vision. God is going to use you. God is going to bless you. You are a world changer. Hey, when Paul, my son, who's 33, can you believe I got a 33-year-old son? Man, I feel like I'm 25 tonight. How can I have a 33-year-old son? But I do. I saw him last night at this wedding we had to go to. Man, he's about 6'3". He just comes up and hugs your neck. He's got the sweetest smile. When he was a little old kid, I heard a message by an old independent Baptist preacher named, well, I'm not even going to tell you who the name is. It may throw you off, but anyway, forget the name. But here, this was the name of the sermon, The I Canners. And he preached a whole sermon, and the phrase he kept using was, I can makes a great man. I can makes a great man. So when Paul was a little kid, man, I was trying to do everything I knew to do to help him, right? So I got in there. I said, hey, little Paul, tell me, look at me. Look at me with your eyes. I said, say this after me. I can makes a great man. I can, Daddy, makes a great man. I said, say it again. I can't. So all of his growing up, and Jerry too, Jerry's 21. I say to him, I can makes a great man. And then I used to say this to him. I look him in the eye and say, I want to tell you something, Paul. You're the most important man in my life. And then he'll still, when he says goodbye to me, Dad, you're the most important man in my life. I tell you, words are powerful. Words are powerful. And to give vision, I can makes a great man. You can do everything God has called you to do with the help of the Lord. Now, you say, well, I didn't get that blessing. Can I say this to you? Can I tell this to you? You know my story. I probably tell it too much, but my mom and dad split up. My dad was awesome. I can't wait to see him in heaven, man. I got so much I want to tell him. My dad was in World War II, and somehow as a result of all that war or something, he got into alcohol. And I tell you, this is just me. I don't see any good coming out of alcohol. That's just me. I know that I can't find chapter and verse that says you shall not ever take alcohol. But I tell you, in our culture today, with the stakes as high as they are, laying down alcohol to me is the same decision as deciding between Cheerios and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I can lay that aside. If I never have another Cheerio the rest of my life, it ain't no big deal. Listen, I'm so high on Jesus Christ, I don't need anything else to get me buzzing. I'm serious about that. But something happened to my dad, and he got involved in alcohol, and it busted up our family. So I didn't really have this. Now, I've got a decision to make, and you do too. If you don't have that in your life, are you going to sit back and go, you know, I never had that in my life. I can't give that to anybody else. I'm hoping and praying that as a result of you listening to this tonight, you're going to say, you know what, I'm just going to lay the axe to the root. I'm going to kill off that old bitterness. And I'm going to say, Jesus Christ, set me free to be a person who loves and blesses others. I had to make that decision. I remember the week that it happened in my life. I was sitting in a Bible study, and a man said, he said, every one of you are a work of art from the Lord. And he used that scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, for we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works. The word workmanship there is a creative word. It's a word that means like artwork. It's like you're a piece of art. God has you on an easel. And he said, some of you in here have taken yourself off of God's easel, and God can't finish the picture because of your stubborn will and bitterness. He said, I'm praying that tonight you'll put yourself back up on God's easel. And I did. I distinctly remember saying, dear Jesus, I can't control anything that's happened in my past, but from this day forward, I'm on the easel, Lord. Draw on me, do with me whatever you want to do. And can I tell you this? That was one of the most freeing things I've ever done in my life. And so, if you're not careful, though, you'll say, because I didn't have that, I can't give that. Because here's what happens. Be careful, because some try to earn the blessing. If you're the person that's your, if your dad or your mom did not give you that blessing, some people spend their whole life trying to earn that blessing. Some search for it elsewhere. They go to other places to get the blessing. Some withdraw into a world of isolation and loneliness. And then some strike out in anger. Some people, I tell you, and I know when I've allowed bitterness in, sometimes I'm like a lit fuse, like a powder keg. And somebody just say something to me wrong, and if I'm not walking with the Lord, the next thing I know, I can bite their head off because I haven't done business with the Lord about that. So be careful if you have not received this blessing. But I want to encourage you, because I believe you can receive this blessing. Here's what the blessing helps kids to answer these questions. Who am I? That's their identity. Who am I? That's their identity. Little Johnny, you're my son. I'm pleased with you. You're in my family. I'm your dad. You know how long I'm going to be your dad? I'm going to be your dad forever. I'm your father. I'm going to love you. That's their identity. And then why am I here? That's security. When you give someone the blessing, you give them security. And then where am I going? That is confidence in the future, because God is going to direct my life. Now, if you're someone that has not received that blessing, can I encourage you tonight? Because ultimately, can I tell you this? Infinitely more than anything I could give to my five children, if they can get that blessing from Him, they're good. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm going to pour it on, and God's going to use me to help them get that blessing from Him. But I want you to know that the world is filled with people that never got that kind of blessing like Isaac gave to Jacob. And they're like Esau, don't you have a blessing for me? Can I tell you this? The Lord does. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, if you can find that real quickly, we're running out of time. 1 Timothy, where is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. Wait a minute, son Timothy. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, has suffered shipwreck. The blank there is the word Timothy. Timothy is a biblical example of someone who received a blessing from someone outside of his family. He was very close to his mother. He didn't have a father that gave that blessing. And Timothy got that blessing from the Apostle Paul. And can I tell you this? In Matthew chapter 3, God blessed the Lord Jesus. He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." The scripture says, suddenly a voice came from heaven, Matthew 3:17, saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And so God himself blesses us. So, ladies and gentlemen, you get your value ultimately from the blessing of God upon your life. And then you are freed up then at that point to deliver that blessing to others. Last thing, and I'm done. Life and death in the power of the tongue. I may have shared this story. I know I've shared it with the Wednesday night crowd. When I was a college student, right in between when I came to UF and when I graduated from high school, we were at a fellowship, and there was a fellow there who was kind of new in the group, and I tried to befriend him. I was trying to befriend him. And he was not necessarily in our group, but we tried to reach out. It shows you how important it is to reach out to people. People did that to me. I was new in a group, and those guys captured me for Christ, those boys, those young men that when they were my friends, they captured me for Christ. Well, this guy was there, but somehow our leader thought the opposite of me. He thought I was not being kind to the guy, to the visitor. And this guy, you got to understand, I was trying to walk with the Lord at that time. I wasn't perfect, but man, the Lord had my heart at that moment. God was bouncing off the walls in my life. And I looked up to this guy so powerfully. And he came up to me and said, "You got a minute?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he took me into another room and he chewed me out. He said, "You say you're a leader in this group." He said, "You call yourself a leader in this ministry here." He said, "I want you to know it's a disgrace." You know, he just went on and chewed me out. And can I tell you this? He was totally wrong. Man, Kelly says she's 55. I'm 58. I have never forgotten that as long as I live. That guy's words were so powerful. It took me a long time to get over that. I'm being honest with you. Now, he, in his mind, he was trying to help a visitor, but he didn't have it right. And he was very harsh in what he said to me. Another, on the other side of it, when I went to a youth camp one time, I was there and all the young people were giving their testimonies. And man, the Holy Spirit was moving. God was so glorified. It was such a great time. And I was walking out the back of that auditorium and a lady, mark your words, folks, what you say to people. She stopped me. And she said, Calvin Carr. She said, man, she said, I see in you the courage of the Apostle Peter. She said, God is going to use you. I have been, that has been fueling me for 40 years. That statement has been fueling me for 40 years. There's some little kid in your life, and it may be a grandchild, it may be your own children, it may be one of these kids running around this church. You have the power to bring blessing on their life, and I can promise you, as one that's experienced that, they will never forget the love that you demonstrate to them. The power of blessing. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.